Engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. He began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, brothers and sisters, today marks the anniversary of the most destructive Supreme Court decision in our history, when in Roe v. Wade and Doe v. Bolton, companion cases issued together, put away the protection that was in place, cast it aside for the children in the womb, deprived them throughout all 9 months of their existence in their mother's womb, and made them non-persons under the law. A mistake that has been made multiple times through human history. When we look, for example, at our Jewish brothers and sisters and others with them put to death in the Holocaust, before the actual killing, they were declared legally to be deprived of personhood. The same evil was inflicted on our African American brothers and sisters through the time of slavery and segregation. The same evil perpetrated against many different groups of people at different times in history, when they were legally annihilated, excluded from the protection of the law, before being physically annihilated. This is at the root of genocide. This is at the root of Holocaust. This is at the root of abortion. The word person, as used in the 14th Amendment to the Constitution, Roe v. Wade says, does not include the unborn. This is a decision that in its dynamic is completely contrary to the gospel of Christ, because the gospel of Christ is one of inclusion. Jesus wants to welcome all to the banquet of heavenly life. We know the parable in which he sends out the servants and says, "Go get everyone and tell them to come in. Force them to come in." Jesus' arms are open wide, wider than ours, for the welcome of people into his kingdom. Why? Because he created all of us and he loves everything he has created. Scripture tells us God did not make death, nor does he rejoice in the destruction of the living. He created all things that they might have life. And didn't Jesus identify his mission as one of giving life? "I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life." He identifies himself as life. In fact, the name of God, given, revealed to Moses in the burning bush, spoken again to the crowds as Jesus was teaching, consists of the words, I am. The God of life. He is the God of the living, Jesus said, not of the dead. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So we have on this day a tragic commemoration of an event that legalizes something that is so fundamentally contrary to the gospel. It's not just that it's contrary to the law of God. It's contrary to the whole dynamic of the gospel. God, who loves human life so much that he became one of us. One can say, just for by virtue of the fact that God created us, human life comes from God, it belongs to God, it goes back to God. So thou shalt not kill becomes a fundamental tenet of civilized society everywhere and throughout history. But it's more than that. It's that God loves humanity so much that he takes it upon himself. We just celebrated this in the Christmas season. He takes humanity upon his very self so that he can lift it up to the victor. He says in the book of Revelation chapter 3, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne. That's what God thinks of human life. God manifested his love for us on the cross by showing what he thinks of human life, becoming one of us, purifying our human nature, exalting it, setting it free from the dominion of death. That's what this whole story of salvation is about. Because at the beginning, when we rebelled against God, we came under the curse of death. And then through the prophets, God began to predict that he would destroy death. Isaiah 25, for example. He will remove the veil that veils all nations, the web that is woven over all nations. He will destroy death forever. And in Jesus Christ, as Paul writes to Timothy, he has abolished death and revealed life and immortality through his gospel. Then, as he writes to the Corinthians, then will be fulfilled the scripture that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? We have the victory of life in Jesus Christ. That's what this is all about. That's why we read in the first reading of today's special Mass for life, the reading that we hear also at midnight Mass on Christmas. A child is born for us. John Paul II says in his encyclical Evangelium Vitae, the Gospel of Life, at the very beginning of that encyclical, now 25 years old, he says that the birth of every child is a reflection of that joy we have in the birth of Christ when God takes on our humanity and sets it free from the power of death. That's why he says, the rod of their taskmaster you have smashed, the yoke that burdened them, the pole on their shoulder. That's what Isaiah called the web that is woven over all nations, the veil that veils all peoples. He's talking about the power of death, which is rooted in the power of sin. By the birth of a child, by the union of his divinity with our humanity, he smashes that yoke, that burden, that rod of our taskmaster. That's why I always say to pro-life activists as we work to end abortion, and that's what we're doing, not just witnessing against it or fighting it or trying to reduce it. We're working to end it. This is why I always say, we are not just working for victory as some goal we hope to attain in the future. We are working from victory. Victory is our starting point. Because a child is born for us and the rod of our taskmaster has been smashed. That's what Jesus does in fulfilling this Psalm 72 that we read today as our responsorial psalm, by being the God of justice, the foretelling of the Messiah, one who would bring about justice. Now that means everyone gets what is his or her due. And the first fundamental thing due to each person is the protection of their right to live. That's the foundation of every other right. You take away the right to live, and the babies in the womb are the only group of people whose very right to live has been taken away under the law. Everybody else, everyone else, they might not be treated equally in every way. And various movements for social justice aim to bring about more equality, more equal treatment under the law. We may be very dissatisfied at various inequalities in the way people are treated during the course of their life, but the law protects their life itself. That is not true in the case of one group of people, and those are the children in the womb. And that's why the fundamental task, and the bishops have identified it again as the preeminent priority, but frankly, we don't need bishops to tell us that. Common sense tells us that. If you take away that right of that baby to be born, you've taken away her education, her health care, her right to vote, her right to immigration, her right to be protected from terrorism, her right to anything and everything is taken away all in one fell swoop with that taking away of the right to life. That's why the bishops, the United States bishops, after Pope John Paul II issued Evangelium Vitae in 1995, issued 3 years later in 1998, Living the Gospel of Life, applying the teaching of that worldwide encyclical to the situation in the United States. And they said, when you look at all the different issues, whatever you're concerned about, poverty, racism, health care, whatever it is, legitimate concerns, important concerns, but they are like the pieces and parts and crossbeams of the house. What's the foundation of that house? The right to life. And abortion strikes directly at the foundation, and that's why John Paul II said some very powerful words. And on this anniversary of the day when the Supreme Court of the United States did this, permitting abortion throughout pregnancy, we have to take John Paul's words to heart. He said, when a state legalizes abortion, it's just a caricature of democracy. It looks like it went through all the normal processes of making something legal, but it's a caricature because it undermines democracy's fundamental principle that you have to have a place where all are treated equal and the weak are protected from the strong in case the strong might want to harm them. John Paul said this has unleashed a war of the strong against the weak. He says furthermore that a state that does this has now made everything negotiable, including the most fundamental right to life, and that therefore, and these are his words, St. John Paul II's words, Evangelium Vitae number 20, he said it becomes a tyrant state. There are those who want to call this constitutional rights. There are those that want to call this a right to choose. There are those that want to call this women's reproductive health care. John Paul II calls it tyranny. When a state allows the weak to be destroyed and turns what is a violent act into a right, and furthermore, allows this to take place within the family, which is the sanctuary of life. These are some of the reasons he gives for the extraordinary urgency of this problem of abortion. When this happens, we realize this is not just one among many issues. This is the heart and core of every issue. Why is an issue in the first place if human life doesn't matter? Poverty wouldn't be an issue. Unemployment wouldn't be an issue. Protection of people from crime, from rape, from child abuse, from gun violence wouldn't be an issue if human life were disposable. It's all based on the right to life, the dignity of life. That's why John Paul goes on to say in section 20 of Evangelium Vitae that legalizing abortion is the death of true freedom. See, some mistakenly declare it to be freedom, but it's actually the death of true freedom. Because again, it's saying that not everybody is equal. Some people can just by a court declaration annihilate an entire other group of people. It's the death of true freedom. And he says, when this is initiated, as Roe v. Wade did 48 years ago today, he said, the disintegration of the state itself has begun. and we mourn over this. That's where our pro-life commitment begins, with a broken heart, mourning over this evil. We have to get real about abortion. We can't be up in the realm of theory. Yes, there are philosophical and theological arguments and religious motivations here and ethical concerns. It's not primarily from our religion that we know that it's wrong to kill a baby. You know that it's wrong to kill a baby simply because you were one yourself and you're a human being, just from human conscience, from human reason, from the perspective of human rights. We know that abortion is an evil. But our faith gives us a whole lot more clarity and motivation to fight this, as I already explained, that God has taken human nature up to the heights of heaven. And then he says, blessed are they who mourn, they will be comforted. Because again, the victory of life is already in our hands. It needs to be fully unfolded. It needs to be fully applied. That's why it's still a very real life and death battle that's going on. But blessed are they who mourn. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness. We seek for righteousness. We seek justice for the unborn. Again, as the psalm said, he will take care of the poor and the afflicted. No one is more poor. No one is more afflicted than the unborn child living in the womb. But blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They themselves, those babies, even though they don't know the danger they are in from abortion. One can say that they, in their lack of protection, hunger and thirst for that justice that would protect them. And blessed, too, those who show mercy. We show mercy, first of all, for helping the helpless. We cry out at every Mass, Lord, have mercy on us. We can't save ourselves. Shouldn't then that make us more ready to hear the cries of who cannot save themselves without our help? Blessed are the merciful who hear the cries of the poor, who hear the cries of the child in the womb, having no voice and no protection. But blessed are those who show mercy also means that we have the greatest compassion for those who have had abortions. And today we want to renew that also. That is a key part of the pro-life movement. It's a key part of my work because I serve as the pastoral director for Rachel's Vineyard and Silent No More, two of the world's largest movements for showing mercy to those that have had abortions. We help people around the world every single day who are coming to the church, who are coming to these retreats, listening to the Word of God, receiving the sacraments of the church, and finding healing from their abortions. This is our focus. To lift them up, to give them hope and healing, not to give them judgment and condemnation. My goodness, we work with people that have had abortions, that have had multiple abortions. I've ministered to people who have had as many as 25 abortions. To them, too, the oceans of God's mercy are wide open. Go to silentnomore.com, see the testimonies of the people we help to find hope and healing. Let's renew our commitment to making it clear that we who reject abortion never reject those who have had abortions. No, we welcome them to the peace, the mercy, the forgiveness of Christ. Just as we welcome those who feel tempted to have abortions, and we let them know that it's not necessary. It's never necessary. There are people ready to help every day, providing counseling, medical and legal advice, assistance to keep that baby or to make an adoption plan, and any other need there may be. Whether to those tempted to abort or to those who have already had abortions and suffer from it, we say to them, we say to all of you, the same words that God says to all humanity. I am with you. We don't say, I am against you. We don't say, I'm trying to suppress you or take away something from you. We say, I am with you. Because when we are with each other, giving each other consolation and strength and hope, then together we can say a great yes to the gift of life. That's what it means to embrace life. This day, the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, was proclaimed just the other day by President Donald J. Trump as National Sanctity of Human Life Day. And as part of his proclamation, he said, "This month we mark nearly 50 years since the United States Supreme Court's Roe v. Wade decision. This constitutionally flawed ruling overturned state laws that banned abortion and has resulted in the loss of more than 50 million innocent lives. But strong mothers, courageous students, and incredible community members and people of faith are leading a powerful movement to awaken America's conscience and restore the belief that every life is worthy of respect, protection, and care." And then towards the end of his statement, he says, On this day, National Sanctity of Human Life Day, I call on the American people to continue to care for women in unexpected pregnancies, to support adoption and foster care, and I ask every citizen of this great nation, listen to the sound of silence caused by a generation lost to us, and then to raise their voices for all affected by abortion, both seen and unseen. Let us do precisely that. Happy Sanctity of Life Day. May we take joy in proclaiming, celebrating, and serving the victory of life. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.